Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
Welcome, you proven people, to another episode of Game Stuff, the best place to listen for all your random gaming stuff. As you know, I'm the Grounded Gamer Corey, and joined with me today is our gaming gal Kalai, and once again, the Teenage Mutant himself is not here because he had some other appointments that he had to do with his wife so that he could play video games with us and not be beaten for being up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So Kalai, how you been?
I'm doing really good.
So, as you know, we're all here. But I just want to get it out of the way right away. Just remember, guys, you can find us on our Facebook page to come and talk to us, as well as you can also come and support us on our Twitter at GameStuffCast. You can also sit there and join our Patreon. Our Patreon is The Proven Gamer on Patreon. And our lucky patron, Colton Nessler, is our producer for this week, as well as... You guys, we need you to just come, subscribe, rate, and share us, and find any way, and tell us all your friends, and tell them about us, and join in on the fun, and all the random gaming things that we have. So, Kalai, let's just start off the same way we do every day, or every week, because we don't do this every day. If we did, we have a lot more episodes. What you been playing, Kalai?
Oh, I've been playing a lot of Nintendo. I've been really addicted to my Switch and my DS. I started... Eternian Odyssey, the first one, the remake on the 3DS. And at first I was a little worried about it because it's a dungeon crawler, which, I mean, it's a pure JRPG dungeon crawler, which I've never really played before. So once I got past the first level where they're like, okay, this is what we want you to do, you gotta go explore this dungeon, I had to kind of figure out, I didn't understand that for the second part, you kind of have to just play the dungeon out. There's no quest. You're trying to figure out the dungeon and you're trying to get to the third level. And what makes this game interesting is the fact that you're building the map. What's that?
I said building the map? Sounds interesting.
Yes, you're actually drawing the map on the bottom of your DS. You got the little stylus.
Oh, okay. Is it kind of like, I remember with, what was it, Legend of Zelda? They did that with the Phantom Hourglass, I think it was. Where you would actually draw out your map as you were playing the game to try to remember where you were going and stuff? Or is it a little different?
I don't know. I've never really played that game. I know in this one, as you walk, the map lights up green. So then you can, like, fill it in. So, like, my strategy is just to keep, like, walking and then fill in as I find the edges of the map.
Oh, okay. Maybe I did play that on DS once. And then I was like, this is weird. I'm filling out a map. I don't like this. Maybe that's what I did. I can't remember. I just remember drawing a map on something on DS, and I was like, I can't handle drawing maps. I think Kathy did it with Persona Q does that, too.
Oh, yeah, I've never played Persona Q. I'll have to try that game. I've also been playing my Switch. I've been playing more Mario vs. Rabbids. I got past the part I was stuck on, and I was all excited, and then I got stuck again.
That's okay. It happens. It's a tactics game.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not very good at tactics games.
The good games I remember playing that were tactics-based was the old Final Fantasy Tactics Advanced for the Game Boy Advance. It was actually really good because that one was actually quite nice where it was pretty easy. It actually wasn't that hard to beat. So it's more of like your introduction into tactics. So if you want to play an easy game that's tactics-based, you can play Final Fantasy Tactics Advanced. And I'm pretty sure they remade it so you could play it on the DS.
I actually have Final Fantasy Tactics on the Vita.
Yeah, but that's a hard one. That's different. That game is tough. That is like bend over backwards tough.
Oh.
But you do get Cloud.
Oh, okay. Really?
But it's tough. Yeah, no, see, the way that one works, the tactics that you get through the Vita is like the original tactics that was made for PlayStation. And so that one, what makes it so hard is one, permadeath is a thing. So if your character dies and you don't revive them, they permanently die. Plus, with that version of the game, what makes it also very hard is as you level up, your highest level character is the level of everything else you fight. And I'm a person that plays in tactic games. I like to play like the minuscule little battles over and over and over again. And I was buffing one character constantly. And all of a sudden I would run into a thing and my white mage would be like level 5. And then my main character was level 10. So everything else was level 10. And I was just dying constantly. Whereas Tactics Advanced doesn't do that. And also has a job system, which is kind of neat. So,
oh, I like the job system.
Tactics Advanced is the beginner's version of tactics games, I think.
Oh, what have you been playing, Corey?
The same thing I play all the time. Pretty much Battlefield 1 with Dante Da Silva. Tried to play Division. I mean, I did go away for a vacation to go see my grandpa for his 75th birthday. So actually, I did play something different. And I played on something different, surprisingly enough. I played an Xbox. Xbox
Welcome
One.
Welcome to the family.
So I played Xbox One and I played Rainbow Six Siege. Now, I've played Rainbow Six Siege a little bit before, but that is my brother's game. Like, he doesn't play anything else but Siege. So it's pretty much like every time that we were playing something, he's like, okay, death for death, we're playing Siege. So you have to get really good really quick, otherwise you can't play anymore. And so I was playing Siege, and now I really want to play Siege on my PS4. So now I gotta buy Siege. Damn it.
Well, more you games can play I have with to me. Buy.
You play Rainbow Six Siege? You have Rainbow Six Siege?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I need to buy Rainbow Six.
Yeah.
So many games to buy. But other than that, I just started playing the Magic Arena's beta because I can talk about that now. So because before I couldn't talk about that, now I can talk about that. I'm a huge Magic the Gathering fan. I like the idea of playing an online version that I can just pick up and play a couple matches without having to leave my house. Also a version that you just earn as you play. It really reminds me of Hearthstone, just magic-based. So,
well, isn't it the
bad.
Other way around? Isn't Hearthstone really based off magic?
Yeah, it's Hearthstone's technically somewhat based off of magic. And then, so Magic Arena is the Hearthstone version of magic. So it's not the Magic Online that's like all these different buttons and everything. It's just a simpler version to play the game. So it's kind of nice. I'm hoping the full of the game comes out pretty soon. Also, I'm really excited to hope that Terra comes out pretty soon, full version. Excited for that. Because they actually did an update where they're like, hey, here's a 5 gig update. And then they're on their Twitter, they're like, just make sure you download the update today. And we're like, why would we download the update? What's this update doing? Why are there trophies? Why is there trophy support? Trophies have showed up in the game. How do people already have these trophies? What's going on? I can see servers, but I can't play them. And then I got all excited. And then I'm like messaging Dante Da Silva. I'm like, oh, invite to party. We've got to play this game like now. And then I tried to join a server and I'm like, oh, no, never mind. Servers are still down. So So then other than that, I didn't play much. I played a lot of card games like Crib and Hearts and the horse race game. But that's about it. So I was also having a lot of water while I was gone. So that was interesting. I know. Yeah, me having water, I know, it's I usually don't do that. A lot of late nights, that's for sure. But Kalai, you know what? Something that's interesting is with all the talking we've been doing, we keep on talking about the kind of the same thing, is that really, what makes us kind of play certain systems? Like, I know with me, I play PlayStation because I like the exclusives, but as you've just heard, I have played Game Boy Advance, I have played Nintendo, I've played everything. And there's reasons why I play those games on those systems. And I thought it'd be a really good topic, especially with you and me, because inviting Joe into this, I mean, we know why he plays PlayStation for trophies. We know why he played Xbox was for achievements. And we know he doesn't play PC.
And
play Switch for the exclusives. So we know he's not playing tennis on the Switch, but we know he's definitely playing Mario and Zelda for sure. So what games, Kalai, when you think of certain systems, what games like so pop out to you? Like that's a console that just speaks to that game.
That's a good question because that's changed over the years for me. So, you know, last year, if you had asked me that question, I would have said Fallout 4 would have been Xbox because I play it so much and I like that the Xbox controller is a very comfortable controller for me.
Yep.
However, these days, when I think of Fallout 4, I think of PC because of the better graphics, because I have a curved monitor. I've actually been tend to play towards more PC games. I also find a lot better sales on PC than, say, Xbox or even PlayStation.
Oh, man, the sales don't. Oh, man, when I used to play PC back in the day, oh, I spent a lot of money on games, and sales are definitely that thing. Like, I remember Direct to Drive, which is used to be GameSpy, used to have this thing where every weekend there was a $5 game. And I'll tell you, most of the weekends I bought that $5 game. Like, if you look at my Steam library, like, people are like, oh, you only Kali play. If anybody wants to complain, they're like, oh, Corey and Joe don't play PC enough and da-da-da-da-da-da and blah-blah-blah-blah. No, I play PC. The difference is I play PC games that are only on PC. If I'm going to play PC, it's only PC games. I don't play Doom on PC. I don't play... Because any of those games I'm going to play with the controller. But Age of Wonders... which 90% of people don't know what that is. Roller Coaster Tycoon. If you haven't played that on PC, you need to get a new life, because that's an amazing game. And then
I killed a lot of people in that game.
That's what was the best part. This guy would be like, the best part was when you'd put an exit sign near your entrance, and then people wouldn't go out your park, so they get stuck in your park. They're like, I can't find a way out. And then when a person would get so angry about it, then you drown them in the river. There was times I did that. Kept your rating on your park really high, and you have little mascots running around all the time. It worked out pretty well. And then what other games are like PC exclusive? Boulder's Gate. What a great game. Neverwinter. Neverwinter Nights. What an amazing game. Not that MMO garbage they came out with that's like somewhat trying to be close to it. But like all the thing is, I think we're coming to a point too where a lot of the exclusives that I used to play on PC that brought me to PC are coming to console. Which I'm super excited for. So, like, those free-to-play MMOs that I used to play all the time on PC. So, DDO and Guild Wars 2 and Lord of the Rings Online and Warframe. Like, all those games were kind of... That was kind of a PC thing, was these free-to-play MMOs. But now PlayStation's got it. And so does Xbox. And it's kind of nice to have that. Because before, free-to-play was never a thing on console.
Mm-hmm. Now, the... other game I just bought, because we were talking about sales, was Rise of the Tomb Raider. I actually wound up buying that on PC. It was on sale in the Humble Store for $20 and included the DLC, which was a no-brainer for me. At the same time, it was also on sale for the PlayStation for $20. Mm. The reason why I got it on the PC is because of the DLC. There is a DLC where you get to run around Lara Croft's manor. That is VR exclusive. You can play the DLC in VR.
Which you don't have the PlayStation VR, but you have an Oculus, right?
Correct. So I thought for my $20, I'd get more out of it playing on my PC.
Yeah,
so-
well, it makes sense, right? Like, we talk about VR and all that, and how better... The thing is, if PC wasn't there, VR games wouldn't be where they're at.
No. They wouldn't.
I mean, if all of a sudden we just had to hope that PlayStation consoles and Xbox consoles would come up with VR games that were good on them, I mean, we'd have like the Move all over again. it just doesn't work. So what kind of games do you think fit towards a handheld? When you think of handheld, like when I think of handheld, like my experience, one of my first consoles I ever got was actually a Game Boy Advance. Mm-hmm. Like owned a console. It was mid between my grounding. I was allowed a Game Boy Advance. Damn, I used a lot of batteries. But the games I remember were like Castlevania games. Oh my god. Every Castlevania game that came out on a Game Boy Advance or a DS. Play them all. I love those games. I love them. Like the Metroidvania games, love them. I think handheld are the way to go for Metroidvania. Because you get the map on the bottom. You get the top that you can look at. You can switch your inventory on the DS. But even it's just the idea that they're short experiences. You're just trying to go from column A to B, and then when you get to that B, you save it, you turn off the console. You're good to go. And other games is like you were saying before, is tactics games are great. Oh, tactics games are fantastic.
The DS is fantastic for tactics games because of that map on the bottom.
Well, and I think the problem too is that, like, I've played tactics games on, tactic games that are full console-based compared to a handheld-built one. And I find the problem is that when you move to a console tactics game, there's so much information you need to take in where it's like, oh, this building's X tall and this thing's X wide and there's five guys over there. I'm going to rotate the camera just to see anything. Whereas tactics games that are built to run on a handheld, they're so simple. It's like, okay, my guy's here. There's a guy over there. It's so easy to see. And I think that's one of the things that makes those types of handhelds so cool with that. I wish the Vita had more of that, but hey, what can we do? I mean, Monster Hunter was born on the handheld. Well, sorry, let me rephrase that. Monster Hunter was born on console, but became popular on handheld.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, for me, I like long RPG experiences on handhelds because of the grinding factor. I like the fact that I could sit in front of my TV with my husband, watch TV, and grind out a few levels that I need to up my characters.
That's always nice.
Mm-hmm. I played Xenoblade Chronicles, the one for the Wii. I played that on the new 3DS. I played the entire thing, and the fact that I could just sit on the couch and play an RPG that beautiful was a lot of fun. I tend to find that I can play more through an RPG in that caliber on a handheld than I can on one of my systems.
Yeah, well, I think Kathy does that. Like, I watch Kathy when she plays a lot of her games, and she, like Persona 4, she played the crap out of Persona 4 and 3, and the reason why she played them so much is because it was on her handheld. It was on her Vita. And I think it helped her because it wasn't where she would have to turn on the TV, turn on the soundbar, you know, get all set up, make sure the lighting's good. With a Vita, she just turns it on, plugs in the thing, and starts playing. A lot of the time, she actually prefers to play most of her games on remote play through the PlayStation on her Vita, just because she likes that experience of playing on a handheld.
You know what else the Vita is really good for? Visual novels.
Yeah, Kathy plays a lot of visual novels.
I like the fact that I could just like lay in bed and play a visual novel at night and read instead of having to do anything too active. So if I'm like in a mood to be like in an action mood, or, you know, sit there for long periods of time and have to press buttons, I actually play novel games.
Did you see that new, this is somewhat off topic, but did you see that new, I think we talked about it before, I think you talked about it actually, where it was the manga, the visual novel in the...
Yes, I saw it at Comic-Con. I'm really excited about that for VR.
I'm really hoping to see that kind of... And that's where, like, I know before we talked about PS5 and stuff, and that's where I'm really hoping that Sony does build something to allow us to still kind of do the remote play side of things, because I think that does help. I think being able to play certain games on your handheld is really neat experience. I think remote play is an amazing feature. Like, when I was in a province away, I was sitting there logging into my PlayStation. Now, just because of things that me and Kathy did, it just so happened I was logging into her PlayStation, not my PlayStation. So I didn't get to play as much as I wanted to, but the cool thing is you're able to do that. And I think it's a real neat feature. But so what kind of games, like, so obviously, Kalai, like, I know trophies and achievements don't make you tick. They're not something that you're grinding for, obviously, because you're buying games. What is it that makes you pick a game on PC over console? Like, what is it, graphics? Is it just the mouse and keyboard? Do you find that more comfortable? Are you still using a controller?
Well, it depends on the game. I got some really good advice from one of our writers, Matt. You can check out his stuff at the provengamer.com website. I was having a little trouble with Tomb Raider because I was using keyboard and mouse, and he said to me, for first person, you use keyboard and mouse. For third person, you use an actual controller. So I do have a controller. So the first game I truly started playing on the PC, because I've never been a PC person, was Wildlands. And I said, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to teach myself how to use a keyboard and mouse, because everybody says it's far superior. Well, the first headshot I did as a sniper in that game, I was in love with the keyboard and mouse. I had such more precision than I would on the PlayStation or the Xbox.
Yeah.
So that made me want to play more games. And I like the graphics. I have a 34-inch curved monitor. If I had a regular monitor, it would be a lot harder choice for me on which games I play on which system. But because that curved monitor gives me a more fuller angle to my games and makes it more immersive, I tend to been leaning towards getting games on the PC. Like, I beat Wolfenstein 2 on the PC, and it was amazing, and it was crazy. I have also, I'm in the middle, like I said, Rise of the Tomb Raider. I bought South Park The Stick of Truth, but I'm going to play that with a controller. So I'm trying to vary the games I'm playing on PC.
Yeah. Well, I know you're a big Civ fan too, right? And that's one game that I continuously buy on PC is Civilization.
Yes. That game, let's talk about that a little bit, because I know Joe would have no qualms about talking about that game. For anybody that doesn't know, Civilization is a game done by Sid Meier. The whole point is you're literally building a civilization from the first time you colonize a space till the winning condition, which you could have a religious winning condition in the current game or a science victory.
I usually go science.
What's that?
I usually go science.
Yeah, I'm terrible at science. I was trying to
science. Science or religion are the two that I find, because I find that if you go science and religion at the same time, they kind of coincide really well.
Well, you build up your civilization, but there's other people building up around you as well. And I play multiplayer, so I play with all my friends. So we will literally slip for 12 hours making moves with this game. And it's all turn-based. It is a lot of fun, and it's very addicting. Because again, do you want to go science? Do you want to go tech? Do you want to build out your colony? This colony doesn't have enough resources and isn't happy, and you have to connect your other colonies, and you have to watch for things like spies from your enemies.
Well, I find the big thing too, and especially what I'm finding, because I played a lot of Civ 4, and my move to Civ 6, and well, I didn't play much of Civ 6 because my trial ended, but even in playing in Civ 5, the big difference I'm finding is when you talk about resources, so big in Civ 5 compared to Civ 4, you didn't have to worry about resources as much. It was like, oh, okay, there was three or four different kinds of resources, and that's all you had to worry about. Whereas with Civ 5, I'm finding that the problem you run into is it kind of forces you either to A, make allies with people and trade, or B, attack people. Like, I've played most of my games that I've played of Civ 5, I get to a point where it's like, okay, I need radium, and it's over here beside this other player, and 50% of the other players hate this guy, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make the decision to attack him and take that radium for myself, and then make friends with everybody else so that I don't get counterattacked and die. But it's a very different game, for sure.
Yeah, well, I play Civ 6, which is the newest one.
Yeah, I don't have Civ. Once again, biggest add it change? To my list of... I'm going to add it to my list of... edit. I'm going to make a list of episodes I need to... how many episodes? I'm just going to make a list of how many episodes I'm going to have to start editing now. I'm going to be up to the 1,000 pretty quick here, Kalai.
Okay, because I want to buy you games. It's pretty fun. That's a good idea. That's going to be your special list.
Yeah, well, my own special list.
Civ 6, you know what the weirdest thing they did was? You know the barbarians? So for those who don't play, these little barbarians spawn at the beginning of the game, and they'll keep attacking you, but you can take out their camp, and they're a good experience. Well, in Civ 6, if you don't watch, they'll come back. They'll find an area that you haven't colonized, and they will just pop right the hell back up again.
Yeah, well, I find that with Civ 5, I was like, I'm like, okay, what are these little tiny colonies? There are one or two towns, and I'm like, is that a barbarian colony that's like now become this massive colony of people? And I'm like, what the hell is this crap? Like, I remember Civ 4 where it was you and other players. That was it. There was no these random little tiny colonies that you've got to try to make peace with. And that's the one thing. Sometimes, I will admit, the funniest thing ever I've ever done in Civ I don't know how many people know, but there was actually a glitch in Civ, what was it? It was in Civ 3 or Civ 4, where if you played as Gandhi and you made him an enemy, and you put him on the hardest difficulty, the way it worked is the harder you put the difficulty on a character, it moved their level of aggression. And for Gandhi, it was a glitch in the system where as soon as you put him to very hard, his aggression became from very passive player to the most aggressive player in the game. So Gandhi would be the first one to research nuclear strikes and nuke people.
Well, the funny thing is that that's really not a glitch. They just continued that.
And that's what I'm saying. It was a glitch at one point, and then they're like, yeah, we're just gonna make it so if you challenge Gandhi on the highest level, he's gonna nuke everyone. I'm like, good job.
Yeah, good job. So what about you? What kind of games do you tend to lean towards through different systems?
For me, it's always the thing that I've always been comfortable with the controller when it comes to playing things. So any type of third person or first person, it's always console for me, usually PlayStation or Xbox. PC is kind of my strategy games. Like I say, I play a lot of the, even when it comes to it too, I play a lot of the, what's the term for them? Like Diablo style games.
Action RPGs.
Action RPGs. I'm trying to remember because it's a random generated map. But that style, a lot of those types of games I've played on PC. I like those on PC. But I've moved with Diablo 3, with making it playable on console. I have to admit, it does make the intriguing motion to play that. But and also handheld-wise, handheld for me is just games that give me short experiences. So a lot of like the Monster Hunter-style games, a lot of the tactics games, RPGs I still like to play on the console because I like RPGs with a big, giant cinematic universe. I don't like RPGs that are just these little tiny, you know, I don't like dungeon crawler RPGs. I will admit that. I'm not a fan. And it's just because for me, I don't like the idea of exploring a dungeon to just explore it. I want to have something that pushes me to do it. And also I find that with dungeon RPGs, there's just, it seems too linear for me. I just can't go, I can't just look a direction and go or do something. But I mean, as we're getting and moving forward, I mean, the thing we're running into is a lot of the games that I used to love on certain things are changing. Like I said, I used to play MMOs all the time on my PC. I used to spend, I don't know, let me see. Back when I had a PS3, I would probably spend 50% of my time playing my PC. Mm-hmm. And that was playing everything. I played Minecraft back when it was in alpha. Like, I played a lot of Minecraft. And I played a game called Worm, which was the better version of Minecraft before Minecraft became popular, because Worm stopped developing. And that's something where there's a lot of games like that. And I used to be in D&D, and so when you're playing D&D, map tools is a wonderful thing, and map tools is all on PC, and I used to watch all my anime on PC, and I used to go on I don't know if this is my generation, but do you ever remember like going to like freegames.com or like newgrounds.com or addictivegames.com and playing all like the Brick Breaker on your Java on your internet browser?
Ooh, maybe. I remember playing Doom in college.
But on the browser. Yeah, but on the browser. Like back when you used to go to those websites that had all the browsers and there was like 1,000 games and you click. And Snowball Fight. Oh, what a good game. Snowball Fight.
Let me tell you about the first game I ever played on PC. It didn't even have graphics.
Didn't have graphics. Oh, God. We're talking about, like, was that one of the good old the number
it was
games?
Like text-based RPG.
Yeah, and, like, those were great.
Yes. I was addicted to it. I was so bad at it. So bad at it. But yeah, because, you know, when I started playing, well, that was the first PC game I played in like an RPG. The actual first, I'm going to go back. The first
You're gonna date
PC
yourself?
Game, I'm going to date myself, that I ever played was on an IBM. It was on a floppy disk. And it was some kind of Disney or I think I want to say Disney. I think it was Donald Duck. Yes. And he was at an airport, and you had to separate the luggage into the correct airport because it taught you your ABCs.
Wow, yeah. So my first experiences playing on PC was three different games that I used to play on PC. One that was a minor game, I don't know what it was. You'd start as a Indiana Jones character and explore through a mine. Have no idea what the game was called because I was 3 years old. The second one was golf, and this is like the golf where you would see your guy swing, and it would just be basically your guy would barely swing, and it would just be the ball just moving up and down. And my parents, so we used to play this golf game as a family, right? On my dad's Windows 3.1. And one of the things one of the announcers used to say is when you would shoot your ball into the water, like into the rough or whatever, he would say, "You can't be too happy about that one, Jim." And that's a running joke in my family. So if you ever screw up, I'll just hear my dad in the corner go, "Oh, well, he can't be too happy about that one, Jim." And so that was like one of the games I used to play all the time. And even before that, I did used to play a lot of the text-based RPGs where it'd be like, and just for you guys don't understand, because you're not understanding of like how basic games used to be back there, you'd put in a floppy disk, it would load up the game, and it would say, "Hey, this is welcome to," and it would just, you have to read this all and be like, "Welcome to blah, 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 new game, resume game," or whatever. And you push one and it'd start new game. And it says, "Oh, you've walked into a town. Where would you like to go? Left, right, or center?" And you'd place 1, 2, or 3. And then you pick the thing and it says, "Oh, you've walked into this bar. You see, a bearded man. What would you like to do?" And it's like, talk to him, punch him, or whatever. And then you just like, literally that was the entire game. And that was it. It was just all by text. And they used to have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those types of games back in the day. And it's interesting how those games have technically become visual novels now, where you see stuff, but they're still there. They're just visual novels, which is funny because originally text adventure RPGs were built in North America, but then North Americans stopped doing it, and then Japan made visual novels. And what I find hilarious about that is it's ongoing, where every time North America comes up with something, Japan just goes, I like what you did there. I'm just going to do it better.
Back in my day, we didn't even have graphics in our video games.
That's pretty much it. It's like, I was watching a developer thing where they talked about the original Doom and how it was the first game that was ever like 3D. And if you actually like the way they actually designed that game is actually, it's still 2D. It's still a full 2D game. It's just the way that they tricked the computer into reading the program. It made it look 3D, which I thought was crazy. The idea that it's actually just a 2D game and they just changed the camera angle. It's weird.
Another game I used to play on PC, and you're going to laugh at this, is Solitaire.
I love Solitaire.
Yes. Me and my father turned it into a gambling game, and we would stay up half the night.
No, I didn't do that.
Yeah. So it went something like this. So I would play a round of Solitaire. Then he would check my progress when I said I was done. If he could catch any moves I couldn't make, I would owe him money. And then he would play.
And then if he did the same thing, then it would be back in...
Yeah, at one point I think I owed my dad $40.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, my dad is really good at that.
Yeah, Solitaire was one of the things I played a lot of. Actually, I remember my buddy, he had built this little tiny computer, and he put three-point window... He always had a fascination with computers, and he put computers into anything. And so he had this Windows 3.1 computer that was built on this like really, really, really old laptop. And he found it hilarious because he put Solitaire on it. And it was so slow that when he won, you know how the cards would like bounce and move whatever? It would take 15 minutes for the motion to finish for the win on Solitaire because of how slow. It would just be like, and then it would just be like one card would pop every 30 seconds.
Oh, that's pretty funny. If you multiply that by 52.
Yeah, I love Salt. I love those kind of card games. And I think that's one of the neat things I like. We talk about things I like to do as well as mobile gaming is a new thing, right?
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's something where right now, like I have my iPad for work. And when I'm like, I went on my vacation, for example, and was flying, I just popped on Crib. I popped on Hearts, just played some card games. The other thing I did is we're starting to see, like we saw last week with PUBG and Fortnite becoming mobile-based. There's a lot of games that are becoming mobile-based too as well, like Armello. I don't know if you ever played Armello, Kalai?
No, what's Armello?
Armello is it's a board game, it's a board game, but it's on the console originally, and on PC where you're four different animal clans and you have to try to become king. And you either do it by earning prestige points, you can do it by the king is corrupted and he's dying slowly. So you either be the most prestige clan by the end of it, and then you become the clan lord. You kill the king and take his position. You become corrupt and kill the king and become the new corrupt king. So it's this great little game, but it's a board game based game that was originally on console. It was actually supposed to be one of our free PlayStation Plus games a while back, but everyone chose a different game instead. That's when we had that 50-50 where you choose. Armello was one of the choices. I think actually this week it's on sale on Steam and PlayStation, if I'm correct, because it just hit on iPad, but it's free on iPad. It's free to play on iPad, but the difference is you pay to unlock everything as you go.
Okay.
So if you want to play the story mode, you have to pay for every chapter of the story mode to unlock all the other games. Whereas on console, it's just, here you go. So that's a cool game that is very neat. I love those interactive board games. I think that's very cool in the mobile standpoint is I love my very in-depth board games. And I think the idea, too, we're starting to see, because I know you do a lot of board game nights. You're starting to see a lot of board games that are like, here's the board game. Let the iPad run a random generation of the story for you.
Yeah, I really like that. Another game, though, that I think even our audience would like is Space Team. Have you played that game?
What team?
Space Team.
What's that?
It is this mobile game. It's free. It's absolutely free for you to download. Everybody has to download it.
Almost every game is free on mobile. That's the problem.
No, this one actually, you don't even have to pay for it. It really is free. It's the stupidest thing ever. So you have to have other people to play with it. So we would have to get together and each of us would have to have our own iPhone or Android because we tested it with both. And I played this on one of my trips with my friends. Everybody logs into the game. And then what's happening is you're flying a ship that's breaking. And on your screen, not only do you see what's breaking, you have gadgets. Like every time you play, that sets up differently on what exactly buttons you have or sliders that you have. So it would be like, I need you. Oh, the Blarfaf needs to turn right. And you might have the Blarflat and you might have to turn it right while you're screaming another command to somebody else in the circle who has something else while trying to figure out if you have the last one. So everybody's screaming at everybody while all trying to push buttons on your iPhone so you guys don't crash.
So, yeah, actually, funny you talk about a game like that because one of the people we were talking to on Twitter, that's his game. It's like a rocket. And it's about to explode, and you have to all do it. And everyone, it's on Steam, actually. It's on Early Access. And everyone buys the game, but everyone has their own cell phone hooked up to that version of the game, just like Jack Party Pack. And you all have to work together with your cell phones to, like, stop this giant explosion of doom. I think it's really neat that we're starting to see where there's games like Jack Party Pack. The Jackbox Party Pack games, those are fun. Those are definitely fun games.
Yeah. And you put them on, like, the Switch, which I think it is coming to the Switch or it's out on the Switch. That would be an amazing game to play on the Switch. Like, that game I would want on the Switch because the ability to take that anywhere and go with my family and play with them.
I think it's really neat. I think if they could do that, the only problem I find with that is that it's the internet. It's just the internet. That's all you need. But that's where if Jackbox Party Pack could make a Switch version of the game, that would be able to be local. Like, you didn't need to hook online. And you could just do it local, would be great.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun.
But, I mean, that's the thing, I think, when it comes down to it, and I think that's something we're trying to get past everyone, is I know me and Joe give PC shit all the time, and I give Xbox shit all the time, and Kalai doesn't give anyone shit at all, is because, really, in all honesty, there is always going to be games that are better played on some other type of system. No matter how much you argue it, there's always going to be a game that pulls you towards another system. And like I say, in my experience, because I was grounded for so long, I got to play all these different games on all these different consoles. And because of that, it's opened my eyes to what games are available on those types of platforms. I would never get into certain things because of that. Unless I tried it on every single different... Like, if you didn't play Nintendo 64, you don't understand what local multiplayer is. Like, let's be honest, you don't. You don't get the enjoyment of sitting beside everybody and trying to play Mario Party. You don't get the enjoyment of trying to sit there and play GoldenEye or Mario Kart or screen looking or... You know, you don't understand what screen looking is or any of that kind of stuff because you haven't played a game like that. If you never played Xbox, when Xbox Live first came out, you don't understand of what LAN parties were. Like, if you haven't gamed since the wonderful world of the internet came out, LAN parties were a thing. And LAN parties, the reason why they call them parties is because people joke nowadays. I used to lug my 22-inch tube TV that weighed 50 pounds in my car with my PlayStation just so I could do LAN parties and also bring my full-on PC with my computer monitor, just to play Counter-Strike with people. Because there was no such thing as playing online. You would play LAN parties.
There's a famous meme going around about that, with all of them playing together, and one guy they duct taped to the ceiling.
Yeah.
That's a real thing. Where they duct tape
people to ceilings just so he could play the game with them?
Yeah, because they didn't have enough spots for everybody, so they duct taped one guy to the ceiling, and they came out years later and talked about why they did that.
Yeah, see, I think the closest I ever got, the biggest LAN party we've ever had, is we did 3 Xboxes, all with Halo 1, and 16 people. And we had a 50-foot internet cable running from one bedroom all the way downstairs, around the corner, through the kitchen, and into the living room, just so we could play LAN party of Halo together, because Halo 1 never had that. And we'd have to play teams because nobody wanted to screen look, because you'd be like, oh, that guy's screen cheating because you did whatever. And I mean, and that's the neat experience, is I think that in all honesty, you don't have to buy every console to experience the best of what every console has to offer. But I think you need at least to play them. Because yes, I played Rainbow Six with my brother on his Xbox, which made me realize that Battlefield 1 doesn't have enough full servers on Xbox. And it sucks because you can't play enough of it. And it also made me realize that party chat on the Xbox is absolute garbage. And when we bitch and complain about PlayStation 4's party chat, my good God, you can't change anything. It's like, oh, hey, look, party chat, great. Can I change my game volume to my chat volume? No, you can't. Can I change it so that I overlay them but don't overlay them? No, you can't. The Xbox doesn't allow you to. It's like trying to look things up, and the UI on an Xbox has just made me, when I complain about my PlayStation UI, I just have to think about an Xbox UI, and I'm like, oh, now I'm okay. I'll forgive PlayStation for this one. And I think we really need to experience all different types of gaming, and even on the point of not video gaming, but board gaming and that kind of stuff. I think those types of games, people, like, if you haven't played a board game, a newer board game, or a, like, Cards Against Humanity, or what is it? What is that meme? Or the Cyanide and Happiness came out with their own card game, or Exploding Cats. Like, you need to get some friends together, go down to your local game store. And Exploding Cats is also on mobile, so if you want to play Exploding Kittens, it's there. But it's the idea that those types of games are so much fun to play with a lot of people. And if you haven't experienced that for yourself, look it up. I'm sure everyone's got some type of game store around them that you can just pop in, and they've got board games to play. I know my town has one where you just pop in, pick a board game up, say, who wants to play with me? And someone will probably play with you. I'm sure you've got one, right, Kalei?
Yes, actually, we do. A lot of them are closing down, so, and I tend to have a lot of my own parties. But yeah.
So it's all at your house then, is what you're saying.
Because then I can drink.
Ah, I see. And like, you know what, guys? And like we just talked about, every time you look at what we've talked about today, don't forget to go to the Proven Gamer website and click on that Amazon link to purchase all your stuff, because that helps the site keep on moving. It helps us continue to be able to look at purchasing certain games so that we can have more experiences just like you guys and continue making these lovely episodes with Kalei and me and sometimes Joe. So, just before we head out, though, I think this is... Any final thoughts for you, Kalei?
My final thought is, you know, you're missing out if you think that you should only play PlayStation. And I think it makes you a better gamer to try the PlayStation, the Xbox, the PC, your handhelds. Because as a consumer, you have the power to shape your stuff with your money. And the more things you experience, the more you could say, oh, this is what I want on the PlayStation, or this is what I want my game to be with. It also, I think, makes me be a better gamer when I can go from Xbox to PS4 to PC. So give it a try. What about you?
Same kind of idea. I mean, the difference is that if you haven't played every different type of console, you're not going to understand what makes a certain console better than others. And we might actually have a topic about that next week. And with that, that's where... So for example, just so you guys know, personal opinion, first-person shooters, third-person shooters, Xbox controllers are better. I will 100% admit that. You guys can go in the chat about it. I love my PlayStation controllers, but for certain types of shooters, Xbox controller is better. Now, with saying that, we would not see PlayStation having a licensed controller by third-party companies that have made PC software or PC peripherals making a PlayStation controller that's shaped like an Xbox controller if the Xbox hadn't made that amazing controller and PC gaming hadn't made them have the money to be able to make that controller itself. And we can't have that if you guys aren't playing everything. Like, you're not getting it. Like, I love, like, for example, I love PlayStation controllers because they have built-in rechargeable batteries. Xbox doesn't. They make you pay for your batteries. The Elite controller does, but their regular versions don't. But the controller that they've built, in certain ways, is a far better controller. But without that controller being built by Xbox, we would never see that version of it come to the PlayStation. And it's really neat to experience that kind of stuff and know what's out there. And you know what? I think that ends this episode. But you know what? Before we do that, I just want to thank a couple people. because we always got to thank everyone. Make sure you're thanking everyone in your day, because you know what? If you're not giving a thank you out to someone every day, you're not doing life right. So first of all, I'm going to thank Kalai and Joe for being here in spirit. Kalai's here in person, well, over the internet, but for being with me today. We're also going to thank Isaac Sago for doing our logo. You guys can hit him up at www.carvemade.com. Isaac Sago. IsaacSago.carvemade.com.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And there'll be a link in our show notes.
There you go. And also, you guys, also, if you like our intro or outro song, you can find them. It's by a band called Take Away the Ugly, or in the song's called Don't Panic.
Yep. And I will put a link in our show notes to that.
Fantastic. And like I said, guys, on the last week episode, if you guys want, we try to not talk too much about news on this podcast. And you can always follow us on Twitter to find more stuff about that. So until next time, you guys stay grounded.
Thanks for listening.
Oh, wait. One more thing. I almost forgot. We have other shows to listen to, too. We almost forgot about them because sometimes we forget that we have a PlayStation podcast because they kind of talk about Nintendo too much. But you can catch them, the Trophy Whores, on their website. You can also, if you want to listen to the true Nintendo podcast, you can catch them at Nintendo Dual Screens because they're fantastic. But if you don't like either video game stuff and you just like being a macho man and listening to Randy Savage and watching wrestling stuff, we have the Smart Marks. And then other than that, that is it for that. And you can always catch us on the Proven Gamer. And Kalai's pointing at me, which means she has something else to say.
I have a question real quick before we end the show. How do they get in touch with you, Corey?
Oh, yeah, right. Getting in touch with us, because that's always a good thing, because you guys can't really contact us. I made it really easy, because lucky enough, the positive of being on an Xbox, because this is something for you guys to know, the positive of being on an Xbox is I created another Xbox account, and now everything I own, except for the PlayStation, until Shuhei lets me choose my name, is The Grounded Gamer, no E-double-D, is how you can find me. On the PlayStation, it's a Gayu, A-G-U-Y-U. And you can find me there. But come on, guys. You can look us up. I will accept your friend's request. I know I'm looking at you, everyone that makes comments on our Twitter and makes comments on our Facebook page about how I should play video games and do this. And you followed my profile, JT. But you haven't invited me as a friend yet. I'm kind of sad. I figured that you paid attention to me enough to invite me as a friend, JT. And Kalai, how can they get in touch with you?
They can find me on the PC Steam at Kalai21. That's K-A-L-A-I-21. You can find me on the PlayStation Network at Miley1978. That's M-A-I-L-E-1978. You can find me on the Xbox at Miley21, M-A-I-L-E, the number 21. You can head over to the Twitter and follow me on the Twitter at K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. And you can check us out on our Facebook group.
And like I said, guys, as Joe says, catch you later.